It's another exciting day here in sunny California, and another exciting episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. This is John and...
This is Jamie.
I am so pleased I get him to do that every time. And today we're going to talk about, I think something that's important is influences. Where did we start? Who are we listening to? How do they affect our playing? You know, what style of music are we playing at this juncture? All that kind of stuff. Anything you want to add about influences that you think would be?
Well, I've always just been fascinated at how when you listen to a guitar player that you really like, or who's really killing it, it's always interesting to me to find out who their influences were and how all those influences kind of like, you know, all sort of like merged together to create the style, you know. Like I saw Scott Henderson play last week, and
one of my actual huge favorite guitar players ever.
Yeah, John Ziegler and I went and saw him play, and it like he is just like probably one of the greatest living guitar players on the planet right now, and like I can't like in listening to him, it's so hard to figure out. You know, you don't hear like, oh well, that's a Pat Metheny lick, or that's a Hendrix lick, or, you know, I mean, you hear little hints of things in his playing. Like there's a little, you know, every so often you hear hints of Jeff Beck.
I have to just jump in on that one. Every once in a while, you hear little hints of Jeff Beck in Scott Henderson's playing.
Yeah.
I would go with that Jeff Beck is a major influence on Mr. Henderson, who I adore.
But
and he's taking it someplace farther.
Yeah, but I mean, just harmonically, he's thinking on just a completely different.
Yeah, I was thinking sonically. That's correct.
So I'm talking about more, you know, more harmonically, melodically, what he's doing.
Okay. As an improviser.
Yeah, and it's just crazy to me. It's like, well, how did that come to be? How did you get from point A to point B? And that's something that's always fascinated me as a guitarist. And anything same can be said for any instrumentalist, even someone here in LA. There's a great keyboard player named Mitch Foreman.
Mitch Foreman, my favorite keyboard player in LA,
whose playing is so phenomenal. He's just I've described him as transcending his instrument. He's just playing it. He just happens to be playing a piano or a keyboard, but musically he's doing something that's just so beyond, light years beyond what. You know, 99.9% of the rest of us are doing or thinking.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's in the history of like piano players for me, the modern guys. Now, I'm not talking about like, you know, the Bill Evans and the, Oscar Petersons and all those sort of guys. And then the jazz modern tradition, for me, there's Kenny Kirkland, who I think was one of the great voices of modern piano and really reinvented how people approach the instrument. Mm-hmm. And Mitch Foreman.
Yeah, and there's like Brad Meldow and people like that, but yeah, but
Mitch
like,
is,
but
Mitch
like
is,
I hear Mitch and I did a gig with him a few weeks ago, and it's like I'm just like watching him while he's playing, and I'm like, how are you doing this? Like, where are you coming up with this stuff?
Maybe what we'll do is even though this is Guitar Talk, folks, there is a chance that at some point we could interview people who are not guitar players. And actually, from my point of view, considering what I'm about to say, this could be valuable. And the reason I'm about to say that is because I actually don't listen to a lot of guitar players. In fact, in my life as a musician, I actually don't like listening to guitar. My influences were mostly non-guitar players. Mostly. There were a couple guys who influenced me early on. I mean, Hendrix was a big thing for me early on. And who was the guy... going home at Woodstock, I'm having a senior moment. Alvin Lee in 10 years after was a huge influence on me when I first started playing, because I just like the methamphetamine driven sort of speed blues, which I thought was a really you know, interesting thing. But I don't know, man. For me, like when I was 13, I heard Oscar Peterson for the first time and my entire universe shifted. Now, I don't play anything like Oscar Peterson. I don't think I ever will, but I have listened to him avidly since then, and Cannonball Adderley. Those two gentlemen were my two really big musical influences, and Ted Green. But Ted is not, I don't think Ted is a guitar player. I don't.
I kind of do. He's not your average guitar player, but yeah, I mean, I was a big, I listen to a lot of guitar players.
Okay.
And These days I listen to less and less, but that whole thing where I started really keying into other instrumentalists, like I started really picking up on, you know, like really getting into piano players and horn players, that didn't come until a little bit later with me. Like all through like the first 10 years of my playing, it was nothing but guitar.
Name your 5 or 10 guys who you really love.
Jimmy Page.
Okay.
Hendrix.
Okay.
Alan Holdsworth.
Okay.
There was a British guitar player named Alan Murphy.
Okay.
That really blew my doors off, that I love.
What was he in? What was the band he was in?
He was kind of like an English session guy.
Okay.
You know, he played on like the Go West records. He played on Scritti Politti, 80s stuff. He died in 1990.
I'm sorry.
So, and I got to see him, I think a couple years before he died. He did a tour with Go West, or he's probably did a couple of them, but I saw the last tour he did with him. Phenomenal player, real Holdsworth influenced, you know, fusion kind of guy, great player. And for me, my whole universe shifted. That thing that you just described happened with me when I was about 14 or 15 and heard Pat Metheny.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
And that's when I was like, you know, hold the phone, you know. And again, there it's the same thing. I don't think I play anything.
American like Garage, right? That's the what was it?
Well, yeah, American Garage was one of the albums. It's one of the ECM albums. He, you know,
his first
album was Bright Ties Life.
Bright Ties Life. That's right. That's right.
That was the first one with Jocko and Bob Moses.
I actually love the work he did with Brecker and Jocko and Joni. I thought that was
really great. Phenomenal. Yeah,
that was some really great.
That
stuff.
That was great. The Shadows and Light stuff.
Yeah, that was amazing. Really great stuff. But that was also a period of time where music and musicianship was also at a different place. Like I remember, like my youth, you know, like I had a brilliant record collection of, you know, Jean Nuponty and Chick Corea and George Benson and Lee Ritenour and Larry Carlton and, you know, all of these great instrumental music things that, you know, for me, you know, you were about halfway through.
No, that's right. I forgot to mention Jeff Beck.
Okay.
Those were kind of like the big major things for me. But, you know, and then later.
So those are all sonic. It's interesting. Your palette is sonic guys. Like your guys are sonic guys. Like, I mean, that's the sonic palette is, I mean, Page had a very specific sonic palette that he was always exploring that was in with parts and groove. Hendrix was just the reinventor of electric guitar sound. Mm-hmm. Beck was another reinventor of guitar sound. You know, Holdsworth was just a reinventor of the instrument and how it's played because, you know, nobody's really approaching, has or will approach the instrument like he does.
Yeah.
Although I think Alex Makacek has some interesting things. My early was Hendrix, for sure. The blues guys. Albert Collins, for sure. The blues guys. But then I had a Mahavishnu phase at a very early age. I was heavy into Shakti and Mahavishnu Orchestra and the Noti thing. I really just up until like the trio in San Francisco, I was a big John McLaughlin, you know, Mahavishnu Noti kind of thing. But I got into Coltrane and once I heard Cannonball, it kind of all ended for me because melodically I was like, wow, I mean, this is what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, but guitar players, like Stevie Ray was a big thing for me because I'm an aggressive, you and I hit differently. We talked about this. I like that I saw somebody who was really hitting the guitar. And I liked that a lot. That was a big tonal influence for me. And Robin Ford, as a young guitar player, I remember what I learned from Robin Ford was the value of one note. How do you make one note sing? And I learned that from listening to Robin because I met him when I was young. And there was I was one of those guys. He likes to get up on stage with the younger guys and basically do the guitar sort of thing where he shows you that you really can't play. And I got that lesson. Yeah. And it was really good for me because I learned the one note thing. But there came a point where I realized that, at least for me, that listening to guitar players wasn't serving what I wanted to do because I didn't really want to sound like anybody. It wasn't a conscious decision. It was just like something I love George Benson. I mean, even to this day, I mean, I'll listen to Borelli LeGrand all the time. I think Borelli LeGrand, but what I like about Borelli LeGrand is he's a real improviser. He's constantly taking risks and he's constantly doing stuff that you just don't expect to have happen in the middle of a song.
Yeah.
You know, but I like that your palette is a lot of sonic because you're a very sonic player. You know, your sound and the way you approach it and your touch and the quality of where your parts lie are very sonically driven from my ears.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know if it's unconscious if it is, but, you know, there's a lot of guys too that like I went through a big Steve Howe phase.
Love Steve Howe.
Yeah, I went through a huge Steve Howe. I was a big Yes fan.
Remember the solo from, what is it, Yours Is No Disgrace? Yeah. The live solo from that? That's a crazy, amazing, inventive, totally unique solo.
Yeah, he was a great, he was a big one for me. I listened to a lot of Benson. But it's all those players, like I find myself now when I listen to guitar players, I tend to go back and still listen to a lot of those. There's not a lot of modern day players that really speak to me in the same way. It's interesting you mentioned Robin Ford, because Robin Ford for me was obviously one of the premier guitar players of our time. Never spoke to me.
I understand that, actually. No,
I never got into it. Never really got into his music in any kind of heavy way. Never really had any. It never had any influence on me whatsoever in any way. I like Stevie Ray, but a lot. I was really into him, but a lot of those players came to me after that crucial period of like the first like 8 or 10 years that you're really seriously playing. And then, like, Stevie Ray came along later, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's really cool. And I got the albums. But he wasn't really an influence on me. He didn't really, like, shape my direction or anything like that.
We have Ted between us now. Yeah, I will
like,
say.
Like, as far as I just wanted to say, the modern day players, Wayne Krantz.
Okay.
I love Kurt Rosenwinkel.
Okay. Oz.
Again, doesn't really speak to me much.
I like his sound and on the groove thing. I knew Wayne when I was in New York briefly, when I lived in New York some 20 years ago. And I remember sitting in his apartment in New Jersey and playing with him and being astounded by what he was doing. Just astounded.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys. I can't remember his name. There was a great bebop slide guitar player in New York. Who I'll try and remember his name at some point in another episode because my brain isn't working. But he was a contemporary with Wayne that was playing at the time, and he was amazing. Like there was like amazing guys who were doing really great stuff, and I can't remember his name now.
Oh, Schleppy Milbank.
Schleppy.
Yeah.
Schleppy Milbank. Yeah. But now, are you listening? Do you listen to guitar players now?
Some. Yeah, I mean, like, I'll always sort of check out what, you know, like, Mike Keneally's doing. But beyond that, like, I don't go out and search out, you know, these, you know, hot new young guitar.
I like a couple of the new guys. There's a guy named Andreas Oberg, who I think is a really, really wonderful bebop guitar player. He's in that really amazing control, like Oscar Peterson level musician, incredibly tasteful, melodic. He plays Gypsy and he plays that Borelli Legrand. I love listening to just because I love his risk taking factor. But if you give me a choice, I would rather sit and listen to Oscar or I'll if you're in my car with me, you'll hear me listening to either Alan Holdsworth or Cannonball Adderley.
Yeah,
you know, for just the overall arc and story of the line and the whole thing. There are a lot of modern guys, though, that are doing interesting, really cool things. But then, like I was saying, the Ted thing between us, like for me, like when I listen to you play, I don't hear a lot of other guys and you're playing. Like you have a very strong identity as a player. And, you know, and when I play, I think I'm really quirky and don't really have much of an identity. I just sort of have a willingness to just go for it. You know, I think of myself as a blunt force trauma.
Well, that's sort of the point of like the whole conversation here is like, how do those influences like come together to form whatever winds up being, you know, it's like you,
the voice, I guess.
Yeah. You're chewing up all of this stuff and then spitting out this thing, you know, the food that what you're chewing up is like all these influences. And then what winds up getting spit out is, you know, yeah, your voice or your style and all that. And it's always, I've always been fascinated at how, you know, like a player who has so much individuality in their playing, an instrumentalist of any kind, you know, how you ask them, wow, what, you know, who did you listen to? And they're like, well, you know, I listen to Hendrix and Jeff Beck. And it's like, well, those are the same guys I listen to. How come I don't play like you? And that's kind of when Scott Henderson's another guy who I'm another guitar player that I will actually listen to quite frequently. And it's like, we listen to the same stuff, you know, how come I don't play like
that? It's the internal story that he's hearing and what comes out when he does it, which is interesting to me. I mean, I know I've played with you enough to know like that you don't sound like any of the guys that you're describing. Like I would never put you in in that kind of, you have your voice in terms of like what your chord work and your harmonic work and your melodic work and your soloing work sounds like and how you do it. And what one of the things I like is, again, Jamie and I have been in this duo for off and on for the last, you know, year. I would say we've done various attempts at it. And when we sit down to play duo together, there's this really interesting synergy because we have the harmonics, you know, sort of background from Ted, but we have really interesting groove sensibilities and melodic improvisational sensibilities. Jamie has much more facility in terms of a line than I do, but there's something about the way that our histories come together that we're able to tell the story. We're able to make things come together. And I don't know. I mean, I don't hear Oscar in my playing. I don't hear Jeff Beck in my playing. I don't hear, you know, any of this stuff. I just try and play guitar and tell the story as best I can. And these influence for me, the influences for me was, is I listen to their way they tell a story. I mean, I listen to Oscar Peterson's left hand sometimes more than his right, because the right can overwhelm you. But that the way he gets in there and grooves, or the colors, that the choices of how people make choices. That's the thing. Like Mitch Foreman makes these amazing choices.
Yeah.
You know, and when I listen to you play, you make all these amazing choices. And I'm a lot of times when I'm comping for you, I'm kind of irritated because I want to stop comping and just listen to you play.
Well, I mean, again, it's like, and again, I don't know where any of that.
And that's comes not from. Kissing your ass, by the way.
No, I. But it's like, I don't know where any of that really comes from. It just sort of, you know, what you play. Like I play every Monday at the Baked Potato with John Ziegler, like, who's been one of my favorite players for a really, really long time.
You guys sound great together. It's a great, great combination.
Long before he and I were ever doing this, we've been doing it for like 7 years. But long before then, he was one of my favorite guitarists, and he has such a powerful style and such an incredible. He's just a force,
right?
And you know, and then you start, and again, he's another example. You hear the guys he's into, and I know John, and I know the guys that he's like. He loves Billy Gibbons. To me, he sounds nothing like Billy Gibbons.
I would never have thought that.
Like, that's his favorite guitarist is Billy Gibbons.
Really?
And I'm like, wow, you know, because that doesn't come out at all. It's not that that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you think of Billy Gibbons and you think of this, you think of, you know, playing like the blues rock shuffle kind of style. Yeah. And
then John, which is just this power force thing that comes out.
But the thing about John is he's got one of the first things that ever struck me about his playing, which is probably the exact opposite of what strikes people about John's playing initially, was he's got an amazing sense of melodicism in his playing, an amazing sense of melody and phrasing. That's the first thing. I remember the first time I ever actually heard him play live in a band, and I was like, and it made me want to go home and like just play slow and play and turn a metronome on and try like building lines and melodies. But the thing that everyone, oh yeah, the way John does that thing where he plays like faster than anything you've ever heard before, you know, and it's like, yeah, but that I almost didn't even notice that until later. I didn't even really get that part of his playing until he and I started playing together.
So maybe that's the essential thing about influences, is there's some aspect of something that you hear in a way a person plays that makes you want to be able to speak your own voice more clearly. So this has been another episode of Guitar Talk. We'd like to hear about what your influences are and how they've affected you, whether you're an amateur or professional guitar geek or a serious player. We'd like to know what it is that brought you to where you are and what that story is. Jamie and I will be doing a live guitar talk with John and Jamie at the LA Amp Show in October. And we are on Facebook, and we are also on our WordPress blog site, Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. Look us up and subscribe to our blog, send us comments, sign up on our Facebook page and write some comments, and we'll try and get back to you, and we'll talk about guitars and your influences and all the other things that we like to geek out about.
Yeah, and if you're in the LA area, stop by the Baked Potato on Monday nights for the Monday Night Jams with John Ziegler, Jamie Keim, Chris Roy, and a rotating cast of keyboardists and drummers.
Yeah, I actually think that if you're interested in amazing influences and guys who are exploring the edge, that's a worthwhile venture. Make it out to the Baked Potato and see Jamie play. Thanks for hanging out with us for another episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. Auf Wiedersehen.
Peace out.
Hey, I did German. You're not going to...
Dankeschön.
Dankeschön, auf Wiedersehen. Yeah. Choose. We can just stick with the German.
I just said thank you.
You said thank you, but that was in English.
Dankeschön is in English. It's German.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Okay. What's with you?
Darling, Tonka Shane. Okay. All right, guys. That's it. You don't want the last word?
No.
Guitar Talk with John and Jamie is proud to be sponsored by the LA Amp and Custom Guitar Show. For more information, please visit ampshow.com.